going on, all you metalheads out there? I want to welcome you all
into the Combine.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Shoddy.
Jason.
Stan the Man.
And this is Into the Combine.
Another episode brought to you outdoors.
Yes, it is.
A little windier this time, but it's cool.
We forgot, though. We also have Ralphie with us today.
Ralphie.
Special guest.
The metal mascot dog.
Yes, he is. Under the table. Headbanging. Well, boys, let's break down this week.
Pigs!
That was the breakdown of the week. It's Architects off of Daybreaker. What was the name of that, Jason?
These Colors Don't Run.
Good shit. We will get into them in a little bit. Breaking down the week, we actually have a review of their new album called...
All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us.
Thank you for that, Jason. We're also going to be reviewing the new Hatebreed album, which is Jason.
The Concrete Confessional.
And we'll talk about a little bit of metal news, and then we actually have some news of ourselves that we'll discuss.
And then at the end, we've got an interview with Tim from Protest the Hero talking about their subscription-based music service. So if you're interested in the business side of things or just, you know, hearing something different, tune in for that interview. So we've been off for, what, it's been another 2 weeks, I think, since the last one. Not as bad as the other break.
No.
I guess, you know what? Why don't we go ahead and inform the listeners? We've got a little small hiatus coming up.
Just a small one. This guy's getting married over here.
Which he's pointing at himself. One's married already. Ladies, I am single. But
Ready to mingle, Staniel.
Shoddy is getting married.
Yes, I am. So
Marriage honeymoon.
And then we're relocating to Atlanta, me and the wifey. To be. So once we get down there and get situated, we plan on still doing this. We just need a little bit of time.
Might be a little different, you know. Shy's probably gonna be on Skype or something, but we're gonna work it out. I think it'll work out still.
It should.
We'll test the waters, and I don't think it'll be too much more than 3-4 weeks, so hopefully we'll be back to you in a month or so.
Yeah, we will miss you.
Don't forget about us. Listen to our old episodes if you haven't. Give us some ideas for topics, because we're still we're taking your ideas. We've had a couple good ones, and we're
and we really, really, really enjoy hearing them and mm-hmm. Taking them in. So it gives us something other to talk about than what we're thinking of. So
and I think we might get some interviews too for you, just to kind of tie things over. I've had some trouble with internet service lately, but I think I can get a couple more coming out too. But anyways, let's get into what's going on
news.
In the metal world. I seen this post something about Woven War going back to more of a metal sound. Did you guys see that one?
I think I briefly seen something about that.
Where was that from? Who found that out?
Some idiots from Into the Combine.
Yeah, we were...
We're kind of stars now.
Yeah,
we
feel
were pretty,
like celebrities.
Pretty fucking, yeah. Well,
Metal Sucks.
Yeah.
AP. What was
the
other
all
ones?
All Press, Metal Sucks, the PRP, and
Metal Blade
threw it out on their Facebook. It was just,
just felt awesome.
It was just cool to get it.
All the people running those, I want to thank everyone for making Stan the Man a household name out there.
Yeah, we got a lot of new listeners out of it, or at least people that checked it out. So if you're new, thank you.
Thank you, yep.
Check out the rest of our episodes. Sorry that we might be on a little break here for a minute, but there's lots to check out if you're new. So,
Some other news. I recently seen something that was actually pretty cool. It doesn't actually relate. Well, it relates to music somewhat, but in the game Doom, which is heavily... I guess, influenced by metal. And I guess I don't want to say metal. You get what I'm saying? There's just that metal feel where it's just let's blow shit up and fuck shit up and go in there. But it was realized that one of the tracks during one of the bosses, if you looked at the Soundwave file, you actually see 666 and a pentagram embedded behind the entire song.
No shit.
So it's kind of like, you know, a subliminal
in the
message.
Wave file?
Yeah, it's in it's in the file itself. So obviously you can't hear that, but if you look at it under, you know, just looking at the wave analysis, you see 666 pentagram 666 during this entire track.
Other news, we have talked a couple times about the Ghost Inside and their troubles. I just saw this one that the vocalist, Jonathan Vigil, he just had another setback, I guess. Underwent surgery after a screw protruded from his ankle. And basically, they thought this was going to stop some infection. Didn't work, so now he's got another infection. He said it's going to be like another long period of 6 weeks until he's like able to try walking again.
And wow,
poor
so it
guys,
sucks.
Man. Yeah,
those guys just been through
I hope
it.
They can still keep that Warped Tour.
It's the vocalist, so I'm sure.
Yeah,
he should be fine, right? He could always pull an Axl Rose and just chill on a throne or something.
Yeah,
it sucks though. I mean, they seem like good dudes, all of them.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I know.
It seemed like just a legit band.
I've been following them a little bit. I mean, they definitely have some good outlooks, like the drummer dude. I mean, he's the one who has like the biggest
hurdles
to overcome,
yeah.
And he's like super positive about it and everything. Have you guys heard about Axl trying to pull off all the fat Axl memes from the internet?
Yeah, I seen that.
They're saying something about it on the radio this morning.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
He's such a fucking idiot.
Have you guys ever looked at those memes?
Yeah, I have. Is that fucking beer gut hanging out?
Yeah, like fat Axl, and
I'll just
put like the lyrics over it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's trying to like... His team like contacted Google and all the websites saying basically that they have to be taken down.
Which is like horse shit. Like, that's laughable. Like, you got to be kidding me.
It's impossible to even do it.
Yeah.
How are they going to do that?
And he doesn't own... it's not his picture. Just because he's in it doesn't mean he has the rights to it.
If it's online, it's fair game. You know.
Anyway. Yeah, well, but like technically it's the person who took the picture. It's their rights.
Yeah.
So, and they put it on there and didn't give a shit. So...
Baby, I don't
know. Fuck him.
Well, that's what I mean, dude. It just makes you look like such an ass. Does he not realize like this is the internet age?
Maybe he didn't know that was going to come out. Maybe he was trying to do it secretly and he didn't know that somebody was going to get you know a whiff of that.
You're probably right, but again, internet age, dude.
Yeah,
that's what happens to these old dudes that have no idea.
Yeah, no idea.
And it's like, dude, now every site's publicizing this.
It's even more.
I didn't even know about fat Axl memes.
I know.
Yeah.
Until this.
Well, I've seen it around, but I didn't know. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's so many memes. I was just like, oh, I don't like him anyway, so I didn't really give a shit. Like, I was like, oh, he looks like a fucking piece of shit there. And then I would just go, you know, on with my day. Like, I wasn't really too into it.
Exactly. Now everybody's going to look at it and just brought so much attention on himself. It's never going to get removed. Other news... Do you remember, we've talked in the past about the hardcore band Rotting Out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with this band, since it's definitely much more in the hardcore realm. But I know I'm a big fan. They broke up. The vocalist got arrested for trying to transport a shit ton of weed.
I remember that story.
Over state lines. And then just recently they're getting a lot of heat for like basically starting to rip off fans. No one's getting their merch orders. They're not responding to emails.
Oh, shit.
So it's just putting them even worse, you know?
So this was just online stuff then?
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not touring with the lead singer.
No, they were broken up anyways.
Yeah.
Just some more bullshit about that. It's like, man, come on. It sucks because I used to really like that band.
Yeah.
And now you got all this shit coming out about them.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, transporting weed, you know, that's fine and everything. But, you know, talking, you know.
Yeah, fuck it. Transporting weed.
No, I agree with you. Transporting marijuana, there's nothing wrong with that.
But, I mean, don't fuck over the fans. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Same thought.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, they're not even a band anymore, so I guess, you know, whatever.
He should go to jail for fucking with the fans, not for transporting marijuana over state lines.
I don't know. You know,
that's
nothing will even probably come
crime.
Of that. I wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know how that stuff works, but
yeah.
Did you guys check out the video of a dude covering a Born of Osiris song on an accordion and bagpipes?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes,
we watched
I
that
did.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a clip of that just so the listeners can hear that one. Thank you. actually pretty legit. And it actually, you kind of need to see the video with this dude with the bagpipe.
That's what I was just saying, because we watched the video a couple days ago, and but
he got some fucking mad windpipe.
It just sounds cool listening to it, but yeah, you got to kind of watch it.
Yeah, I mean, because windpipes, but I don't even know that people did that anymore.
Right when that song came out, though, there was actually two girls, I don't know where they're from, pretty attractive girls, and one was on a violin, and the one was on a drum. It was just the weirdest cover ever, and then, you know, they just had fun with it. That's a cool song.
Wait, you saw it with a girl doing that song?
Yeah, one was on a violin. And
okay.
And then one was on drums. It was the two of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
well, check that one out too, I guess.
Perfect song to just kind of, you know, try out stuff with.
I always thought it was a fun song.
Have you guys heard about the After the Burial bassist?
Yeah.
Leaving the band?
Yeah, him dropping out. Hey, well, I guess he recently had a kid not too long ago, so he was trying to do the two things at once, and obviously the kid takes priority, so he just called it quits.
Yeah, valid.
Yeah, very valid.
The behemoth dude, though. That sucks not seeing him on stage anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Huge guy. Good presence.
He was.
But when we saw him, he wasn't with the band.
No, he was already, because the kid was there. I mean, I know he came back and did a couple of shows on the... We can get into the Summer Slaughter Tour. Isn't that what they're on?
That's my next topic.
He was doing that, and then I think it just got, you know, homesick, stuff like that. He just said he didn't want to do it anymore.
That's valid.
Yeah.
You hear that all the time.
Any replacements yet?
No, they haven't said anything yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if the guy that's been touring with them would continue on, but...
Yeah, I don't know who he even was
for that
before.
Band, do we really care? Or I guess I don't know. I've never actually listened to
bass. Well, I mean, when the guy stood in for them, it was the same. I just don't know what that other bassist added to create, you know,
what
from
does
the
mean
creative
bass
standpoint.
In that band in general? Honestly,
it still
it's so
out.
Guitar-driven for me.
It's guitar-driven, but the bass and the drums always play off each other, and the bass is what's keeping the tempo and what keeps the sanity half the time. So the guitars are always going back and forth, and you always have that bass to
latch
onto.
I think it's a lot bigger part than we think.
I mean, just listening to the drums, I know it's a huge
and
part.
And especially with, Justin.
Right. That's you true. Know, now you got one
way bigger part.
You're right. You've got two of the original guys out now. What are they going to sound like from here out, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're, I mean, obviously that last album was killer. I'm sure they'll be okay, but.
Yeah. Wish them luck. Talking about the Summer Slaughter Tour, though, that's a fucking awesome.
Yeah, we meant to talk about it last time, and then we got off topic.
Yeah, we did.
Too many beers.
Way too many. There's a keg being tapped here.
Now, it's coming pretty, you know, all over the U.S. except for Detroit.
Yeah.
But Shoddy's going to be down in Atlanta.
Yeah, I hope to be going to that.
So I hope you catch this and maybe we get some interviews going or something.
Yeah, I mean, we got Suffocation. We have fucking Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, it's the headliners. You got Cannibal, the main headliner. Then you got Nile.
Mm-hmm.
After the Burial is third on the bill. And then you've got Suffocation, Carnifex, Revocation, Christian, Slaughter to Prevail, and Ingested. Which is, that's a pretty killer lineup.
Yeah, I agree.
My only thing is, like, Cannibal did just tour the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that I wouldn't want to go see Cannibal again.
But why?
But it just seems odd to just do it immediately after they just did a headline tour. And they don't even have an album out right now.
Yeah, that's what the people were saying, is they were hoping that it was going to be a more diverse set list now, because...
It probably would be,
They don't do a shorter set list. It'll be a shorter set list, and it'll be more of a, you know, a variation versus being a lot off of, you know, the current album that was out.
Although, it was a pretty big variation when we seen them, though.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'd love to see them again, but I wouldn't mind it being a different band that didn't just get off a tour. Even after the Burial, dude, they just did a full...
They just did two tours. Well, and Suffocation was in Europe for a while.
Yeah.
And then they came here and did a mini one before hopping on the Summer Slaughter Tour. So, I mean, I don't know. They've all kind of been... You know what I'm saying? Is nobody was really taking a break, I guess.
Nile, I haven't seen them around or anything. But either way, it's a killer tour. What do you guys think about, like... I kind of did some digging into some of these bands just because... I had heard about most of them, but I had never listened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, like, obviously the main headliners, Carnifex. What do you guys think of Carnifex? You ever listen to Carnifex at all?
They're okay. I mean, yeah. It's.
I really haven't dug into them too much.
I mean, I remember there being one CD that I liked back in the day for a little bit, but it wasn't anything, like, I mean, it came and went. So I just haven't given them enough time, so.
I actually wrote them off a while back just thinking it was kind of like a copycat deathcore band.
Mm-hmm.
And then I recently went back and listened to, like, their last album, and it's actually... It's pretty good. Like, they're definitely a top-tier deathcore band.
You know, and then my opinions are based off of their CD 4 years ago as well, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, so... No,
I think you guys would dig it. It's cool because they take the deathcore formula for sure, but they do mix a lot of more of, like, a death metal, some thrash, and some black metal here and there, too.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool. I mean, that's what I look for. If I'm going to listen to deathcore, it's got to have, like, at least something.
Yeah, it can't just be straight. Cause
we've heard all that before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, I would say they're definitely a cool one to look out for. And then Revocation?
I've heard of them, but haven't listened to them.
I honestly don't think I've ever heard of them.
They're not, you know, they're not the biggest band, but the dude can shred in this band. Band, but they're on the thrashier side of things, so it's much more, it's, you know, it's not in the tech category necessarily, it's much more in the thrashy, a lot of guitar acrobatics, sweet riffs going on, really good. Like, if I was going, I would really be looking forward to them. And then Slaughter to Prevail, we played last week,
yeah,
last episode. And then Ingested, Shoddy, I think you would like Ingested.
I
you like a lot like of like the slammier,
yeah,
brutal
I feel
death
like
metal.
I've heard of them before.
Actually, I'll play a clip of this one, and I don't know. I think this is gonna be right up your alley.
Yeah, it's real brutal, and yeah. I like the speed that was there.
There's a lot of speed. They're weird, dude, because like they're definitely in that slam category, but there's some deathcore elements too.
Yeah, yeah.
You do have the chuggier, slower parts and everything. Yeah, they're pretty fun.
That was what I was gonna say too. Is I liked how they broke it down. Still, it wasn't just in your face the whole time.
Because my problem with a lot of slam, like straight
it's just
slam,
too much.
I don't really enjoy it. I mean, it's fun to listen to a couple songs.
But it has to be broken up here and there.
It's got something to it.
Yeah,
there's like 700 million slam bands that just basically, you know, sounds the same. But if you can do it good, like this band, you inject a little bit of something different in, you can see why they're on Summer Slaughter. They've got a little extra something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would say check them out. Check Revocation out, too. That's a killer band if you like riffs.
What have you guys been listening to? Anything new?
Besides the reviews, because I definitely was listening to those a lot. So that took up definitely the most of my time. But I was checking out, I was trying to find some, just like pay attention to some of the new singles that have been coming out. And the big ones for me was the new Periphery single, which is crazy because they just put that album out, the double LP in 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
And they already have another single out, and they have an album coming out this summer. But it's actually a pretty good track if you like the heavier stuff from Periphery. Really good.
Okay. Yeah, Misha, he's just a machine, just putting out shit left and right.
Yeah, can you imagine that, dude? Like a double album, and then you already have enough material for another album.
He just seems like one of those guys that's just writing, riffs, songs all whole time.
Yeah, dude, I guess. It's good, though. It's like it's the heavier sound. It's, you know, they kind of flirt with different types of styles and everything. It's got actually, you know what? Shit, I'll play the part. It's got that kind of After the Burial, gently chug in there. You know what I'm talking about, Stan, that you kind of like?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's got some of that in there. It's got some, like, heavy-hitting stuff. I'll play just a small clip of it.
It though so like I didn't really like the last double that came out. I just felt like it wasn't hard enough all the time.
Yeah,
but I liked that a lot.
They're one of those bands you got to be in the right mood.
I know
you can't go in with the wrong mindset.
Yep.
And plus double album, dude, that's hard to consume.
Well, exactly. It's like, where
do
you start?
Doesn't bother me whatsoever, but it's just I got to be in the right mood for them.
Yeah.
But it's like, so I could have started listening to it and not have been in the right mood. And with a double album, I could have dismissed it. And you get what I'm saying? If I was one track away from it getting heavy, then it's just, that's why I guess it's a lot of material.
Because there was definitely some heavy songs on that one.
Yeah.
It's just, they were mixed in with
a lot of,
it had the double album feel where it was like you had your interludes and it kind of like more expansive, you know, where I don't know, maybe this album will be a little bit more in your face, immediate.
It's sounding like it.
I mean, you can hear like double bass in and just like way more aggressive. I really, really like it. I saw some people online complain like didn't have the catchy elements or it didn't seem like the stuff like Misha used to do on his own.
It sounds like they're progressing in a harder direction.
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought Spencer did a couple cool things with his vocals, just a little bit different. I don't know. I'm definitely going to check that album out. I wasn't that excited when I first heard its release, and now after hearing that, definitely check it out. And then Nails released a new song. A little while ago, You'll Never Be One of Us. Their new album's coming out real soon. And if you like that super overdriven hardcore, you know, with the mix of power violence and kind of just very chaotic with feedback, you know, with the Kurt Ballou production, then, you know, that's the album for you.
Yeah.
It's coming out real soon, I believe. And Decibel gave that thing like a 10 out of 10. So that's one to watch.
Hmm.
Coming out the same day as Gojira.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I forgot. We 17. Have that. That is upon us.
Yeah, that might be our comeback episode or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait for that.
I haven't listened to any of the leaked shit yet or any of the
released stuff just because I want it.
Fresh.
Yep.
It's good. Both tracks so far.
How? What?
I put out two tracks so far.
Oh, yeah.
Real killer. Good reviews,
too, in
magazines.
I've been hearing real good shit about it. Mm-hmm. Real good shit. But I just haven't wanted to ruin anything. I've been waiting for that Veil of Math CD 2 to come out. I think it comes out. So, I mean, what we're recording this now, it's the 7th. I think it comes out this Friday. They released another teaser, but I said, fuck it, I wasn't going to listen to it. Because the one song that they did release, we played last week.
Yeah, we did.
Was awesome. So I just said, I'll just sit on it and wait for, you know,
I think a better idea.
Yeah, in its entirety.
It sounded good, though.
Oh,
I was feeling that. Veil of Nath or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it has a P, but it's silent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nath.
Yeah, I think P-N-A-T-H.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah. How about you, Stan, anything?
I've been really, like, running two CDs, but I have to wait until a little bit later in the cast to talk about them, but... Other than that, I mean, no, I've, you know, just been mountain biking a lot. So, you know, it's in-your-face stuff you're listening to. And first band, I'm not going to go on a rant because I've probably talked about them every episode, but I've been listening to a lot of Parkway Drive.
Oh, God, still.
No, it's never gonna change, but...
It never stops.
Right now, my favorite album's Horizons. I don't know what I picked the one day, but...
That's so awesome.
No, well, I've been listening to two CDs, but we got to wait on them.
Well, let's go into them then.
Yeah, let's get into the
first
one.
Which one do you want to do first?
I guess let's get into Hatebreed then, the Concrete Confessional.
One set of shotguns to my head, they said I wasn't worth the bullets. Now the world is my trigger and I'm here to fucking pull it. One set of shotguns to my head, they said I wasn't worth the bullets. Now the world is my trigger and I'm here to fucking pull it. Still here, I can't hesitate. Eyes wide open, pupils dilate. Still here, sense of identity.
We teased, didn't we tease a track of this?
Yeah, I talked about it briefly on the last episode. Because
singing styles.
Yeah, we talked about the track Something's Off. But let's go ahead first. How would you guys, what kind of number are you giving this one?
Oh, shit.
I'm giving this one, 8.5.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah, honestly, 8.5. It's, I guess that's going, why?
For me, it's just album really worked for me, like, we're all Hatebreed fans here, so I knew I was going to like it at least a little bit.
But it's a different Hatebreed, though.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. It's not the same. Not that they were, you know, putting out the same shit, but... Mm-hmm.
What do you think made it different? Because I know why I think, but...
Well, I mean, the production.
Production was great.
I'm not saying it wasn't great, but it didn't have the Hatebreed production.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Didn't have that heavy, evil production to it.
I agree.
This was more That's what crisp, I was gonna just say, like a... good hardcore production.
Less of the metal, like you said.
Yes.
Dirty. Something about
that,
it. Yeah, you're right,
was
Stan.
Was that necessarily production, though, or writing style? Because I feel
no,
like...
No, because, I mean, some of the riffs, you can tell they're Hatebreed-ish.
You can
they
tell
just,
they're
Hatebreed. They sound
I just
different.
Feel like they got... I don't want to say a little bit more technical, but they just... Musically, it's not... You get what I'm saying? There's more riffs in here, I feel like, than we've
had
before.
A lot of good riffs.
I see what you're...
It's, you get what I'm saying?
I see what you're getting at.
Like, there's, you know... I don't want to say in the past it was all, you know, chug, chug, you know what I'm saying, going back and forth between breakdowns and chugs, but they're riffing a lot in this album.
You're
so
right.
Maybe that's why it sounds brighter.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, though. It is a little bit brighter because I went back and listened to, like, half of their discography just because I was like, what is it that's so different about this to me? Because it sounded very fresh even though it's still Hatebreed, you know what I'm saying? But I think if you put this on, I can tell it's different, you know what I mean? I can tell it's different than another song. So, I mean, than one of their other albums. And you're right, Stan, like the production.
It was Zeus.
Yep, exactly. They said they wanted to go back to kind of the style that they did on their first album.
Wait, who produced it?
Zeus.
Oh.
I don't know too much about him. He does a lot of deathcore.
I've never heard him before.
You know, he's kind of all over the place.
They said they wanted to just do something without spending a lot of money. They didn't want to use a big budget producer.
I remember that.
They wanted to go back to more of their just DIY style from their first album.
You know, they're actually one of those bands. I do follow a lot of production, you know, aspects of, you know, the whole metal scene. But, like, I'd never really looked at who produced their albums before. That they always had the same guy, or was it always kind of...
I don't know.
Because they all kind of... All their albums sound kind of similar in ways.
Yeah, you're right.
And this one just stands out a lot.
Honestly, that's a good choice for a band when you kind of do a similar style every album. You know, you pick a different producer that might help.
But at the same time, I was looking for something, you know. I was kind of just looking for, you know, the same old thing.
Oh, okay, so were you let down?
Yeah, I wouldn't. In ways, yes. I think it's going to take a lot more time from this album to grow on me, though,
too.
Would
you still give it an 8.5?
Oh, yeah, I think it's an excellent album.
So then that's my next question, I guess.
What'd you give it, Shoddy?
An 8.5 as well. It's just weird because he's feeling like says he needs more time.
Over time, it's going to be potential to be one of their best albums. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
I was just wondering what the community was thinking about it. Because, like, I didn't know if people were, let down of the brightness, I guess, or the new sound.
I scanned some reviews just to see numbers and whatnot, and reviewers definitely like it. It's gotten a lot of good numbers, you know, 4 out of 5s, 8, 9s out of 10s, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As far as the community, I mean... I couldn't give you a good grasp.
Hatebreed faithful. I wonder what they
know.
Think about it.
I mean, I've heard a lot of good things in certain groups on Facebook and stuff like that. Seems like people are digging it. But I was going to say, for me, I feel like this album is a lot more, it's got a lot more like thrash and punk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Than it does the beat down hardcore style. You know what I mean? It's got
especially with like the group vocals and a little bit more of the, I don't want to say the clean singing, but the chanting. So yeah, that's, I agree with you.
Like something with the speed and some of the riffing styles, it could have a little bit more of the, like you said, bright, fun feel for a Hatebreed album.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's still extremely mean and, you know,
powerful lyric-wise.
It's weird you bring that up, though. This is like every other Hatebreed album makes me want to just like start punching walls or punching whatever's next to me.
I felt same way during this one.
I get very angry. This one, it was kind of just a fun listen. Like, I want to headbang. I want to hardcore dance, you know. Not so much, like, I don't get pissed off at it.
Hatebreed, you literally could just go punch whoever you see in the face to you.
Yeah.
This one, you might not punch him in the face. You might just, like, want to jump around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel you on that. But it's got, and there are a lot of tracks that still call back to that older, to their normal style. And I think only a diehard Hatebreed fan are really going to notice the differences. Like, if you put this on to somebody who's a casual listener, you might not even tell that's much of a different album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for us, we listen to them a lot, and it stands out as a different album to me. Because I've seen stuff online like, oh, another Hatebreed album or whatever. And it is, but...
But it's not. Like, it's not... Yeah.
What's a standout track for you guys? Something we can play?
Oh,
we played Something's Off last time.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, like, not one of my favorite songs off the album.
What didn't you like about it?
I don't know. I really liked, like, Looking Down, number two.
Oh, okay. With the single that they put out?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And In the Walls is pretty good.
Slaughtered in Their Dreams.
Dude, I really like Slaughtered in Their Dreams, the riff on that one.
Yeah.
That's a killer riff.
I like it a lot.
I debated playing that one on the riff episode. It's simple, but it's just super effective to me.
Uh-huh.
I think that might be the winner.
Evil infects this place. All in a sense. Nailed to a stake. Crushing murder. Busting children. Slaughtered in their dreams. Shedding blood in its wake. There's no end to the hate. So we're
you notice right there at the end of that clip?
Putting me on the spot.
The guitar solo.
What about it?
That's pretty rare for a Hatebreed album.
Oh, yeah. I guess, I see what you're saying now, but I don't know, but it kind of, I see what you're saying, but it meshed so well together, though. You know, they kind of do have those parts in this album that they do throw, like, new shit.
Mm-hmm.
But
they do it on AD,
you can hardly notice it, like, because it just goes so well together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I
noticed that. It's a well-written album all around.
On 18 on that one, they have a guitar solo, which for Hatebreed, doesn't usually have that. So, I mean, they're trying some little things out, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jamie for a second.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking?
I think he did an awesome job.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I really like his performance.
I don't think his lyrics were as in-your-face, though, to where, like, I'm, like, singing along, like, you know what I mean?
You know why?
Why?
I think because for once he's writing more about... you know, external things going on in the world, stuff he's pissed off about, or like, as opposed to, usually it's more of like perseverance, you know what I mean? Or rise above, like stuff that's just basic that everybody feels and that you can kind of just immediately grasp onto and chant. Where this one, like, he's talking about shit that pissed him off about, like, the France attacks, you know? He's talking about, like, in 80, the American dream, like how America is a piece of shit with the government, you know, stuff like that, how they're effing up the American dream. And so, like, it's a lot of that kind of, those kind of topics, which is cool because it's a little bit different. Because, I mean, how many times are you going to say, you know, you can conquer the world, you know?
I know.
I mean, we've got a lot of albums you can go back to for that. So I thought it was cool, but I agree, Stan. You're right. It doesn't have as many of those maybe crowd sing-along moments.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
But I thought he did a fantastic job with vocal, you know, what he's doing with his vocal style, you know, using it as an instrument, kind of, you know, instead of just him just doing the same thing over and over again. He's a badass singer. I'm not saying that, but like,
no, you're right.
Every
though.
Other album's been Jamie, just the same Jamie. So
yeah, he hits.
I enjoyed that.
He hits hooks once in a while. Mm-hmm. He hits some pitches once in a while. I don't know. He's, you know, he does the talky parts and everything, but he just sounds really like into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This many albums in, they're not a young band anymore, but he sounds like this is like their debut album and he's just like ready to go. But he also sounds like he's put the time and work in and he's just like a professional at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't, besides Jamie, just the riffs all around. Like I thought, very effective album riff wise. I like the thrashy elements and there's some catchy riffs in there too.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty solid.
I like too. I mean, for an album like this, it's like 33 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another positive. It was a quick listen, but it wasn't like, oh shit.
Oh, you know, I kind of fucked up with listening to both of these because my iPod was on repeat because I always put it on repeat, like in case I'm mountain biking, you know, if I run out, so I need to listen. So I listened to this album, just come. It kind of kept on going on and on. I was like, wait, yeah, I thought I heard this song again, but I guess going back to what I've been listening to. Real quick, I really got into The Divinity of Purpose over the last couple weeks, like kind of comparing them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always liked that album, but I never got into it. So that's what kind of one of the albums I've been listening to. And you know, that's in your face. But
which album was it again?
Divinity.
Oh, Divinity of Purpose. Yeah. It's not, which one did you like better?
Right now I'm going with Divinity, but it's still because it's the old Hatebreed. This one's got to grow on me a little bit more.
See, this definitely surpassed Divinity for me.
Really?
Rise of Brutality, though, I still kind of like.
Okay.
That's kind of my top one, you know, so it's kind of right there with that one, I think.
Yeah.
But that's just me. But anyways, check it out. It's super fast, in your face, 30 minutes, no songs, more than, whatever, 3 minutes probably. So it's an easy listen. So I definitely recommend that. 8.5 for me, maybe even a 9. Super, super good album.
Let's hop into the next album review. Architects.
All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us. Kind of a big album for them coming
very
off
big.
Of Lost Together, Lost Forever.
Mm-hmm. Which was a good album.
Pretty big shoe to fill.
Well, because they've been a band for quite a while. A
lot of albums.
Yeah. I didn't pay attention to them until the last album, mm-hmm. though. But I went back and I was listening to everything from before and I didn't realize how many styles they've messed around with.
Oh, yeah.
Like they started off like a botch kind of a band with mm-hmm. like Norma Jean, technical. Then they come out with some. They had an album where it's like mostly or a lot of clean singing,
mm-hmm.
more of an alternative feel. They jump into after that they kind of go more towards the Lost Together sound,
mm-hmm.
but not until that album. I think. I mean, it seems like they found
their
sound there.
Yeah. I got into Hollow Crown a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about with the like you know the chaotic stuff.
But yeah,
it's a
nothing
solid
until
album.
Yeah, and then Lost Together or whatever it's called, but.
I mean, that's like their album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going to tell someone to check out Architects, maybe start with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, shit, man. We saw them live on that album cycle.
Yep.
Killed it live.
When did you guys see them live?
I was with Every Time I Die, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And just killed it live. Stan, what kind of guitars did they use? How many strings?
They use 6 strings.
They do?
I thought they used 7, but I think they use baritone guitars. Don't quote me on it. I don't know. But, yes, they got that very low sounding.
Really?
Yeah, I believe they're baritone guitars.
Wow. Okay, I thought for sure they were doing something with at least one extra string.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it, but I don't think they are. And they do use really fucked up tunings, too. Like, shit you don't even think of.
Well, then maybe that's something that's going on with it, too, with the sound. So, starting off with Lost Together, or Lost Forever, how would you compare it to that one? Which one's better to you?
Well, let's rate it real quick.
Okay.
Oh, shit. So I'm going to be a little biased. This, I listened to it once straight through, and that was it. But I would have to give it about a 7.5.
Okay.
And I'll get into why that is.
Yeah, yeah.
I listened to it probably a good 5 times. Not more, much more than that. But I'm still going probably around you 7.5, maybe an 8.
So I listened to it, to be honest, probably about like 8 times. Definitely more than 5. Because here's the thing. When I my first listen through, first to third listen through, I was like, same as you guys. Probably like, meh, this is good, but it got a little boring for me in the second half, and it just didn't do as much as it did on the album before. And then after I got like 5 listens in, and I was probably to like an 8. And now, like, honestly, I think I'm probably to like 8.5, 9.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's one of those albums that, because it's for them, it's, they definitely pushed their sound a little further. They tried some different things to me.
See, I guess that's what I haven't heard yet. I heard a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought at first.
I felt like there were songs that sounded too similar to songs on Lost Together, Lost Forever.
There is, okay, there is some
of
that.
You know what I'm saying?
So I think that's a big discussion here.
Yeah, like I thought it sounds so similar to me.
Don't get me wrong, and I really tried to pick apart, and I tried to find something. Yeah, I mean, I remember you said it the other day when we were doing, but you're like, you got to give it a couple listens.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to, and it's too similar to me.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't blame you, because that's exactly what I thought, like, for sure.
I mean, down to the settings of, like, the mixing, like, stage. Like,
oh,
you
that's
know,
for sure the same.
It's too...
Did Frederick do the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, not the first one, but
yeah,
Lost Together.
Yeah, yeah, Frederick Nordstrom, the...
Okay, that's what I thought, because it sounded very similar, and I didn't know if he did that one or not.
Which I think the production is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, it is phenomenal.
Oh, it is.
I love how it's kind of, like, pushing into that almost too much category where it's just too much, I guess maybe compression or, do you know what I'm talking about? Everything's kind of flying out at you. Almost clipping kind of a sound or whatever. And I think it works for them though. It adds a little bit to it.
The reason I'm saying it, because I just don't think the songs are as good as the last albums. I think it's not as a fun listen. It's definitely more boring.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, because I agree, it doesn't have the standout, like, immediate fun songs.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Gravedigger.
Exactly.
Like, you just want to, like, you know.
Naysayer, Gravedigger, yeah. Cancer. Those songs,
yeah.
You listen to them one time, and you want to sing
hooked.
Along.
They're in your head, yeah.
You're hooked. This one is way less of that, but that's why I say, like, if you really immerse yourself in and give it a chance, there's all these parts that kind of, like, start coming out of it. And maybe that's just me, but I'm always saying that because I agreed at first. But it's just, I mean, in the first couple, there's definitely a lot of similarities to the old ones. I think the first
four songs
are in that same vein. But then you get into the second half, and they definitely start trying some different things. I mean, there's a track on here where it's like, it starts off like basically Meshuggah and Gojira combined.
Okay, and I remember that.
I think it really, actually, here, I'll play it for you. I think it really works for them. I mean, it just shows them going further outside of like the metalcore standard. And trying, I don't know, just making it a little more their own.
Tell me, was it a weapon to watch your kingdom grow? On the edges in the ocean, heaven's up that strong.
I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, definitely Gojira. I think that part that you just played, though, is a kind of a good example of, okay, I really do like Sam as a singer. You know, I think he's amazing for what metalcore is nowadays. Like, he's really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of his parts, the way he, the vocal parts, It's like I can almost sing parts from Lost together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because just the way he builds up to a part or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
His and vocal, it's just like
yeah, his singing style is just very it's
it reminds me of other parts from that CD.
Yeah.
I think musically this one is definitely doing some newer stuff, but I think he's kind of stood still on this.
Yeah, you might be right on that one. There's a couple choruses where I think he kind of tries some new things,
but
and
he
it,
was
and
trying
stands
new things
out
in the last album. That's
right.
Why it kind of didn't. You
I know I feel you with that. You're right. I've seen that online too. Some people kind of saying the same thing.
And his like vocal patterns, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like it's almost mimicking like other parts of other songs from the last album.
Yeah, I would agree to an extent. To an extent, like I said, I think you'll latch on to more the more you listen to it personally. But it's a very valid complaint.
Yeah,
I forget which chorus it is, but there's one where it was just like very big chorus, and I felt like he kind of actually tried something a little bit different than before. But I mean, yeah, it's nothing. If I can't remember it, then it must not have been quite that out there. But I do like kind of how this album and their last album, I just think I don't even want to call them a metalcore band because this isn't really metalcore anymore. You know what I mean? It's much more just like modern metal.
Yeah.
With lots of influences. But they do have a pretty good message and everything. They're actually standing for something, talking about different things. It's not just, you know what I mean? If you're talking metalcore, you know, I mean, there's a lot of shitty metalcore talking about a lot of shitty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But they're actually standing, they're talking about environmental stuff. They're talking about just social issues and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that I've sat there and read the lyrics, but I've read interviews, things like that, and they're definitely trying to say something, which is always cool for a metal album.
Yeah. I mean, what were some of the favorite tracks on this one? I really liked the first, like, four songs, the ones that did sound like the other album.
Yeah.
I don't, maybe I'm just not open to them trying.
I just need to listen to it more.
No, I agree, though. Like, the first and second song for me were definitely killer.
Yeah.
Was Death Wish 2 or 3?
2.
Yeah, the riffs in the beginning of that one.
I downloaded a version and it was not like I rushly put it on my iTunes on my iPod and it was by alphabetical order, not like track order.
No.
So like the first couple times I was listening to this, I was like, this doesn't flow good, like, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of ruined the whole thing too. But
that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, cuz I guess one thing I should say too for me, because I was getting a little bored by like the third of the CD when I was putting it on, because I was like, okay, I got to get into this album for this review.
Yeah.
And I would listen to it, and then I would start just wanting to put on something else by, like, track 6, 7, whatever. Mm. So then I started starting from, like, 6. You know,
oh,
just
like
start
the end
there.
Of it,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And that's when I, like, fully appreciated it.
Hmm.
Because it does. It slows down. They get more atmospheric. They have, like, you know, they throw in some more electronic things in this one that really weren't on it as much. And at first, I didn't like it. Grew on me a lot. And then they come out, and you know, that last song, it's like 8 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
which they tried a lot of different stuff on that one.
Yeah, that like break right into the blast beats. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very effective song. I mean, it's again, you got to have to listen to it a couple times because at first I got bored with it too. But then I think my expectations changed. I wasn't looking for the last album as much, and then I kind of got into it. And I think too, you guys might be right that it's maybe too similar to the last one. I think once you listen to it enough times, you kind of forget that those parts are from the last one. So that might be it too. I might be blinding by it.
It's not a solid record. It is, like, you know, but it's never gonna top the other one, I don't think. Like, I don't know. That's my other album I've been listening to a lot.
Have you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's a hard one for me. I don't know if it's gonna top it for me or not. I don't know.
I just need to listen to it more to see.
It was this album is like, I just want to go back to the other one. That's like my feeling throughout the whole thing, you know.
That's how I was too.
I just wanted to listen to the other one because it had too many similarities, yeah. But I knew they did it better.
Before. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to revisit this one on a later cast just to see what we think.
I would too. I would actually, both of these albums, I'd love to just like bring it up later on just to see if it grows on you anymore. Because
I'm curious too, just like I said, going back and forth so much on it, but...
Well,
I want to know what you guys. Yeah, I want to know what you guys think, though, especially on Architects. Are you guys fans, and how would you rank this one compared to their other one, or just even as a standalone?
And let us know too about the Hatebreed. Did it live up to expectations, or you know what I'm saying? Like, how did you feel about it?
And then, next we've got our interview with Tim from Protest the Hero, and after that, stay tuned because we're gonna play a song from an indie band, unsigned band. One of our listeners, actually, William Bartram is his name, and he's in a band called Artillery Breath. Explaining it, I think it would be some type of a very thrashy, in-your-face death metal. He's a vocalist, I believe. I was very surprised. Obviously, the production isn't amazing because they're unsigned. But everything comes through. The drummer is super good. You know, even if you don't listen to the interview, skip to the end, the last 4 or 5 minutes. Check out the track. You know, support. We got to support each other. We got, you know, especially when it's one of the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
And we get so many different people sending us stuff. And usually unsigned, you're waiting for it to suck, you know, just to be honest.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, you get surprised. This was one of them. And then we got another one that we'll play on the next episode. So anyways, check out the interview with Tim. I think that's it for today.
We'll miss you, I guess, but we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We love you.
We wish Shoddy safe travels on all his new adventures.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. This is another episode of Into the Combine, though. I am Shoddy.
Jason.
Stating the man.
And you guys stay metal.
Just wanted to talk a little bit about your guys' subscription service and kind of how it's been going and all that. But what are you guys up to right now? I think you said you guys were touring a little bit.
Yeah, I just got home from a run and have like a month off, and then we go back out to Europe for a couple weeks.
Okay. So with Pacific Myth, man, how long has it been since you guys launched that?
We launched it, I believe, October 15th, 2015.
Okay. So it's been a little bit of time now. I just signed up not too long ago. You know, it was something that kind of flew under the radar for me for a while. How's the reception been since it's kind of been a little bit now since it's launched and you've kind of gotten to see the process?
Yeah, it's been good. It's kind of at an interesting point now because the songs have run their course. Like, we set it up as a 6-month kind of campaign, but due to the restrictions through Bandcamp, it was either like a yearly thing or a month-to-month thing. So right now, like, as far as the material goes and like the songs and the documentary footage as well, like, we've released everything, but now we're just trying to kind of keep people entertained and, you know, kind of we're using it more as like a first place to notify people about anything that's kind of going on in our world.
Okay, so just for anybody who doesn't know, can you just give a short kind of rundown of what you guys did with the subscription service?
Yeah, so basically we were looking to release a new album or call it an EP just because there's six tracks, but we thought it might be cool to have something where if you sign up every month, you would get a song on the same day for 6 months. And then there was two levels. So for the song, you could pay, I think it was $12 US, and you would get a song a month plus any kind of interaction and bonus content that we would post throughout the months. And then for 25 US, you would get the song and then an episode from a documentary about making our last album.
Okay. Okay. So where did the idea come from? Has there been any band before you that have done this, or is this all you guys?
I don't think we're pioneers. I'm sure someone's done it. I've heard kind of some different ways that people have released material like that, but we just kind of thought that it might be an interesting experiment and something for people to look forward to. I think with an album, there's kind of a lot of hype around it, and then you release it and it kind of gets old really quickly. So we thought this was a way that we can piece by piece kind of give something to people so they're excited about the new material and they don't get too much of it all at once and have to kind of like pick favorites. They'd have a month to digest kind of each track. And then the other thing was the fact that it was real time. Like, we didn't have an album recorded. We pretty much finished the songs as the month or as the 15th was approaching. So we were really wrapping up the recording and then listening to mixes, you know, a day or two before it actually went out to all the subscribers.
Oh, okay. Okay. So did you guys ever have any problems then, like with, you know, the timeline or like getting into crunch time and not having something finished?
We were able to meet all the deadlines except for the last one for the documentary. The guy that was editing it, he got sick, so he kind of needed a couple extra days. But yeah, every month it was pretty stressful.
Yeah.
And not that we settled for good enough, but it was kind of, it would get down to the wire where we just kind of had to live with how it was and not really over analyze and kind of nitpick about stuff. We kind of, you know, we would get the songs maybe on the 13th, and by the end of the night on the 15th, they'd be live and available to all the people.
Okay.
So it's really the most real time thing that we've ever done. And when you do a record, you record it and mix and master it, and then there's usually like 3 months setup time to the release of that. And I don't know, this way we were able to kind of turn around and deliver stuff before we could even really think too much about what we did. And, you know, it was a lot of like instinctual writing and decision making, which was a different approach to all the albums we've done in the past.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys have to all then obviously be in the same area so that you're able to kind of, for this whole period of time, get together and knock these songs out?
Yes and no. Our drummer lives in Ottawa, so he did all the recording up there at a friend's studio. And then a lot of the writing was done over like Skype or just sending ideas back and forth through Guitar Pro. So there wasn't really a whole lot of, or there wasn't really any get in the same room and hash stuff out. It was mostly kind of form the stuff through a digital means and kind of just go from there.
Okay, got it. Are you pretty happy with how they all turned out now? Or is there any of them where you're like, shoot, maybe we should have taken some time on that one or what?
As far as the writing process goes, I'm old school in the sense where I think it's important to get in the room and hash stuff out before you go and record it. So we definitely skipped a step in that sense. But looking back, the fact that we are pretty slow when it comes to writing and we were able to kind of live up to these deadlines, and for the most part, I was pretty happy with how everything turned out. It was just a little bit foreign as far as the process goes, but it was a challenge, and I'm happy that we lived up to it, and I'm happy that now we have six new songs kind of under our belt, and I definitely have just kind of scratched the surface as far as like the writing.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, I think they've been killer so far from what I've heard. I've listened to them all at least a couple times, and definitely cool. So I know you guys did Kickstarter too before. I mean, for the future, what do you think you would go with? Would you stick with this method, go with Kickstarter, or go back to old school?
It's kind of up in the air. Like, I think what we like to do is try to test some alternate formats, but at the same time, there's something nice about releasing a record and doing a full-length album. So I think sometimes people get the impression that we're trying to find the new solution, new way to release, where I kind of look at it more as like, this is just an option, or this is another way to kind of break away from the traditional formats. But I do think there is a time and a place to go through all the conventional channels and do something like that. We've just kind of been testing some alternatives, and there's positives and negatives about, I guess, all of those avenues. So it's really up in the air, and it's really situational. For the last two records, we've been a little more financially independent, which has been nice. And I think that's going to help us to be a finance future endeavors and not have to depend on a label or kind of to our fans in an act of desperation to ask for money, you know, if we're generating it on our own.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, not to get personal into that kind of stuff, but I guess what has been the result as far, you know, comparing this to Kickstarter and then being on a record, a normal record label, does this kind of give you guys the best opportunity to actually make some money from your music, or which one is the best way to go for you guys?
The interesting thing about this Bandcamp project is we realize that we're tapping into like a small amount of our very devoted fan base. So it's like, A, you have to kind of be willing to come along for the subscription ride and try something new. B, you have to put your faith in Bandcamp. C, you have to have a credit card. And so we know it's very limiting to who's kind of getting on board for this. But the interesting thing is that now we're working on putting things together for a conventional release, which is going to be sometime at the end of summer. So it's like, I feel like we haven't tapped into all the revenue that could potentially be out there once this is actually officially released and selling and all that stuff. So from a financial point of view, it's been nice that we've been able to fund the recording and the documentary and all that stuff, and it still kind of hasn't been officially released. Right. So that's kind of yet to be determined. But it has been nice, and it's one of those things where the people that were involved were there for however long, maybe right from the beginning or kind of getting in near the end. But that's only really the beginning of the release and the life of this album. So there's still kind of a lot yet to be different, but it should be interesting to see.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess one more question about that. For a smaller bands that, you know, is this something you think is feasible, or do you kind of have to have kind of maybe an established fan base for this kind of a project?
Yeah. With crowdfunding, and I think this, we have like developed a reputation that people can kind of put faith in us. So I think it would be really hard to try to do something like this without having people that would kind of put their trust in you. But at the same time, I think the subscription model or some of like, I don't know if you are familiar with like Patreon as well, but sites like that are a way that people can support the artist directly that they like in hopes that that will help them be able to put more focus on creative activities and not, you know, take time away from when they could be writing or recording music to work a job to kind of finance that. So that wasn't the approach that we were taking, but I know for upcoming bands, if you can kind of tap into any of your fan base and if they're willing to kind of support you on a project basis or a month-to-month basis, it's a way that you can get some extra revenue to devote towards paying for recording or just paying for your living expenses and stuff like that.
Right. Have you seen any other, any of your peers, any other bands trying this method or kind of asking you about it?
Definitely a lot of people were interested about it. I haven't seen anyone that's done the Bandcamp thing that is really in the same genre as us. And I think the thing with the Bandcamp project was we also kind of made it our own with the idea of giving people a song a month. And us in the band had a really hard time with kind of doing a subscription and providing value for people. It was like a pretty sensitive issue where some bands, they don't even give you something a month. And people are still willing to give them, you know, a buck or two a month to just continue creating, which I think is a great thing. But it was a really hard thing for some of the guys in the band to grasp. Like, why would anyone give us a dollar or two a month or nothing in return? And I don't know if that's a fair exchange, but it's kind of a new thing that's on the horizon where people feel like they can get directly involved with the music that they like by just kind of supporting it.
Have you guys ever thought about throwing in like live playthroughs or like, you know, tabs or anything like that into the mix?
Yeah. So on the Bandcamp, I did one playthrough. Mike, our drummer, I think he did playthroughs for all the songs. We released three of the tabs for guitar and drums as well. So anything that we could kind of give to people, exclusive merchandise that was only available through that site, anything that we could give to kind of make it unique. And, you know, even though I don't know how people feel about paying $12 for six songs and I guess six instrumentals and artwork and all that stuff, but we still wanted to make sure that we didn't feel like we were ripping people off and that we could give them as much bang for their buck. So everyone was kind of happy with the result.
That's what I liked about it. When I first looked it up, I thought, oh, that's kind of pricey for six songs, and then looked more into it. It's a pretty badass idea, really. You know, I could see a lot of bands doing that, and I would support it. I like all the extra features you have in there, and it's just a cool way to be able to support a band, if you're not somebody who's always buying the albums.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's a very sensitive issue these days of like putting a value on music, but I don't know how we kind of got to this $1 a song area and how that's mm-hmm. equal for all musicians. So I personally don't really have a problem with marking up the price of music because I just can't see the other side of the argument where if someone says $2, $3 for a great song that they love, how that is overpricing it. So I feel like we've devalued music, and the people that are willing to support it and pay a decent, you know, a decent price for stuff that they like, I think that's kind of the attitude that we're trying to encourage.
That's a great point, really. You know, I guess I've never thought about it like that. You think of just that iTunes 99 cents or whatever it is now, and you don't really question it, but that's a really good point. I've never thought about it like that.
It seems like the iTunes of the world and all the corporate people that are selling and licensing music, they're kind of setting the price points for music, which makes it really hard for independent people to go above that without looking, without making it look bad on them. And I don't know how much other art that exists, you know, if you have movies or TV shows or books that you get repeated value from. So to kind of say, I'm going to buy a song for $1 and I'm going to listen to it, you know, arguably for the next 5 years, a couple hundred times, to say that $1 is too much, or, you know, it just seems crazy that people would ever kind of contest that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think it's going to be hard for certain people to swallow with the streaming services. I think that's going to, you know what I mean? That even more so kind of makes it hard for people to kind of wrap their heads around. But I think that's important to think about it like
yeah.
that.
I
mean, think of like paintings or other things that you can kind of put a price on. Why a song you can't?
Yeah, and think of like a painting, for example, depending on who the artist is. A single painting, I know it's an original, but sells for thousands and thousands of dollars. Where I guess maybe since this is a copy that's easy to kind of recreate and distribute, it brings down the value. But I don't know, it just seems like, I don't know why people have come to accept that that's a fair price. And yeah, with the streaming music, you know, some people probably won't ever pay for music. And I don't have a problem with streaming because I think it's great promotion and a great tool. But at the same time, if you really like a band, you have to be willing to support them if you want to kind of keep going.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm glad you guys tried something new. I hope other bands kind of go that route, just because, you know, it's a bummer when you see bands kind of stop touring or stop putting out albums just because they don't have enough money to do it. So I think we need to figure something out. So I'm glad you guys are trying something new out. You guys have anything in plan for another album, or are you guys kind of riding this one out for a while, putting out the actual physical release?
We're kind of in a weird spot because I guess since this is technically an EP and just a different release, it's not the same as like putting out an album and going and supporting it for a year and a half or 2 years. But we're hoping to kind of do a scattering of dates kind of around the world over the next little while. But the focus is definitely to keep writing. And, you know, we kind of got some things sorted out when we were working on this project, but we definitely kind of just started hitting the groove near the end. So I think everyone is really eager to kind of keep writing and try to do as much touring as we can, but it's kind of one of those things where we'd like to focus on music for the time being and try to turn out some more tunes.
Cool. One other question for you. On our episode that we're recording today, we're going to get into, you know, some of our favorite metal riffs. Do you have any that stand out to you, like a favorite metal riff? If not, maybe even just like a song that's got some badass riffs in it for you.
Just because I heard it recently, our sound guy was playing it when we were like tuning the room and stuff like that. He's playing Holy Wars by Megadeth.
Nice.
Yeah, and I think Megadeth is a pretty easy band, but there's a couple, that song and like Symphony of Destruction, there's some solid riffs.
Yeah, just all riffs.
Yeah, so
cool, man. All right, well, thanks for doing the interview. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thanks a lot again. Have a good one.
All right, well, good talking to you. Thanks for calling.